How's everybody doing? It's great to see your beautiful faces. I just want to thank Pastor Stan. Pastor Stan is up at a campus lead pastor meeting that happens in the morning. So he went up tonight. And so I just want to thank him because Pastor Stan is he's a good shepherd. not the hospital. But he is a good shepherd, and he values you, the sheep, and the members of this church. And he guards and protects you, which means he guards and protects this platform. And so I'm honored that he trusts me, him and Kathy trust me, to speak into your life. So let's pray before we get rolling. God, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, God, for everyone here. I thank you, Lord, that as they are sitting here in these seats, Father, that they're going to be able to just release right now anything they've been carrying throughout the day, any challenges, any struggles, any fears, any worries, just anything that might prevent them from what you want to speak into their heart and their life tonight, God. I just pray they release that to you just right now. Just release it to Jesus so that you can receive what he wants for you tonight. Don't miss what he has for you tonight. And so we thank you for this service, Father. I pray, I thank you, God, Holy Spirit, that we're partnering together to speak truth into these people's lives. And I just honor you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So tonight we are going to talk about a culture of honor. You guys get a chance. Can you put that on? There you go. Okay. So a culture of honor. Now, before we jump in, I just want to hit on culture real quick, just to make sure we're all on the same page. So when you look up culture in the dictionary, culture is the customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or social group. Also the characteristic features of everyday existence, such as diversions or a way of life, shared by people in a place or time. The set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterize an institution or organization. Then it gives an example, a corporate culture focused on the bottom line. So a culture, everywhere you go, there is culture. Whether people are intentionally creating it or not, there is a culture, right? And so many of you are familiar with the oil field, and there is a certain kind of culture in the oil field. I had a business in the tower climbing industry, and I had never done anything in tower climbing industry. I didn't know anything about it when we started the business. Thankfully, my partner did. But I soon discovered there is a culture, and one that they had been trying to change, a lot of the culture in the tower climbing industry for decades. And there was a lot of people in that industry that were known for climbing towers high and drunk and just lots of terrible things. And so it's gotten way better. But that's a culture that's created. And so you have to be intentional if you want the culture to be great, if you want the culture to be good, if you want the culture to be a kingdom culture, right? You have to be intentional. And so culture doesn't just happen by accident. Right? And we recreate the culture we have internally, externally. Okay? So what we're going to talk about is a culture of honor. So we have a culture. The question is, what is it? What kind of culture do we have? So I'm going to say law. I'm going to pause. You know, I like to ask you guys questions, right? I like to get your brains engaged in thinking. So what kind of culture do we have? So just think about that for a second. What kind of culture do we have? And if I asked you, and I had a whiteboard, we could probably fill it up. Okay? There's another time for that. Tonight, I just want to pull out one culture that we have that I think is awesome, and that is a culture of hospitality. So there has been so many people, first-time guests, people that we've gotten feedback from that tell us, man, I felt so loved and welcomed when I came to this church. And that's why many people have come and stayed. Because when they came through those doors, you guys do an awesome job loving on them, making them feel welcome, making them feel at home. Yeah. So that's an awesome culture, right? Well, it didn't happen by accident. It didn't just magically happen. It was intentional. And thanks to Tommy Cope, he's been a big part of that. Because everybody knows, most people probably know Tommy, right? It's the guy who's hugging you and telling you to look at your shirt. So I didn't fall for it tonight. But that's a culture, that's an awesome, awesome culture, right? I think we can agree, like, you want to feel welcomed, you want to feel loved, you want a smiling face, right? You don't want somebody at the door going, "Oh, I'm a Vineyard Life Church," right? Tommy, you missed it, I just talked about you. All good things, all good things. Okay, so talking about, the next question is, do we like our culture? Well, when we just talked about the hospitality, right? Do we like that? Well, absolutely. We just answered that question already. Yes, we like that. So here's the next question. Whoa. And is that culture progressing to deeper levels? Right? Because everything should be growing and progressing. I mean, there's, in our world, I think businesses do that to a fault, right? I think about these massive companies, right? And if they're losing, if their stock's going down, they're losing market share, man, they're frantically going, "We got to do something," because they know they'll start going downhill and decaying if they don't keep growing and keep progressing. And that can be a fault. They can do that to a fault. You have to be careful. But is it progressing to deeper levels? Because if we have something great, we should leverage that to make it greater, right? We should leverage it to go further. So how can we leverage what we have and go further? Because we should always be progressing. We should always be changing and adapting and going further than we were in the past. So do we want to go to stronger levels of relationship? Let's let you answer that. So I knew you were going to say yes. Most of us, right? That now, there may be someone in here who's like, "Oh, I don't know. That's kind of scary." That's okay. It takes time, especially when you've been in relationships where things didn't go well. Jesus can heal that. Come see us, 646-3420. So if the answer is yes, here's what I'm telling you. To accomplish that, we must cultivate a culture of honor. So let's talk about what that looks like. Honor. In the Bible dictionary, most occurrences of honor in the Old Testament are translations of some form of kabod, not kebab. Let's not think about food right now. Kabod, while in the New Testament, they are derivatives of tamal. These terms are generally used with reference to the honor granted fellow human beings, though in some cases they are used to describe the honor a person grants to God. Now, I want you to notice something. It says, though in some cases. So most of the cases are what? Honor granted to fellow human beings. Yet, I would say probably most of the time we show more honor to God than we do to each other. So, though in some cases they're used to describe the honor a person grants to God. So that's, so moving forward, the root of kabod literally means heavy or weighty. The figurative meaning, however, is far more common, to give weight to someone. It's interesting. To honor someone, then, is to give weight or to grant a person a position of respect and even authority in one's life. Life groups. That's what life groups are for, guys. Life groups are so that we get in relationship and we grant weight, respect, and even authority. All right, don't get scared, okay? It takes time. Right, I'm not telling you show up in life group and just hand over everything, hand your life over. No, there's trust, and you have to develop trust in relationships with people. But you can't do it if you don't start going every week with the same people over time. But then you can grant authority to someone to speak into your life. Because let me tell you something. The immature people are the ones who are not in relationship with other people. Think about it. Your only review of yourself is you. And if your only review is you, I'm telling you, you're going to lack maturity. You're going to lack growth. You got to be in relationship with others, because I can tell you from experience that when I grow the most is when I have other people speaking to my life and telling me, hey, dude, when you did that, you sounded like an idiot. Hey, when you said that, you sounded like a jerk. And I know you don't want to be a jerk. So I'm going to tell you. Okay. Life groups. There's a, out in the foyer, there's a life group wall. All our life groups are there. There's a sheet that has them all listed out. There's an app. There's a website. What more do you want me to do for you? Okay. The granting of honor to others is an essential experience in the believer's life. Christians are to bestow honor on those whom honor is due. Now, I put this in yellow for a reason. Okay? Because I think that most of the time, some of the time, that we think, man, that person doesn't deserve honor. That person is so despicable. Man, that person's evil. Or that person is this or that. We only give honor to whom honor is due. So I'm going to challenge that with God's word. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Hold on, you seeing this? Of his flesh and bones. We are of his flesh and of his bones. Did you know that?
Good word.
So who do you think honor is due to? Definitely God. Who does God live inside of? Every one of us. So who is honor due? Every single one of us. So we can kill that lie from the enemy right now. It no longer has a place for him to lie to us and tell us, oh, you shouldn't honor that person. They got to earn it. Now, there is an honor that we bestow on all people, even if they're not believers. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. So I'm not paying attention and I'm skipping stuff over here. All right. Okay, so honor, I gotta calm down. Honor, so just to tell you about honor and why I'm talking about honor, it's a pretty big thing in our church. So this right here is coming out of our next step, step two, experience victory. And in that is our core values, our mission, our core values, and then our structure. And under our structure, it's our victory life church leadership covenant. Pastor Jacob calls it our secret sauce. We, the leaders of Victory Life, those who are an example of others to follow, in order to establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, form a healthy body of believers, secure the blessing commanded upon those who walk in unity, ensure a legacy of peace and prosperity for the next generation, and restore respect and honor for God's government and authorities on earth, do ordain and establish this covenant. What's the covenant? First one, honor. If you want to know the other two, you can attend Next Steps. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday, October 7th at 11:30 a.m. We will work together as a leadership team governed by these three core spiritual principles. Honor's the first one. And Romans, we'll hit some of these scriptures later, so I won't read all of them. But in a healthy church, honor is a two-way street. Not just honor towards a leader, but leaders honor those that have authority, they have authority over. Honor is our culture. Okay? I'm connected to the source. All right. We agree to submit to and not undermine God-given, God-appointed authority, and we commit to further the kingdom of God and not build our own. Are we building our own kingdom? No. We're building his kingdom. So I'm not going to build my own thing over here on the side. Okay? I'm not going to go, hey, we're going to have a secret meeting at my house. Okay. So the believer is to honor God, for he is the sovereign head of the universe, and his character is unsurpassed. The believer is to honor those in positions of earthly authority. So we're going to go through this, and the first one we're going to pull out is earthly authority. This is a quote from Jacob Sheriff. How you work under authority will determine how you behave when you are in authority. Amen. So think about how you live and work under authority. Whether it's here in this church, whether it's at your workplace, whether it's at somewhere you serve, an organization, wherever it is, how do you function under authority? Think about it. Self-awareness. And if you don't know, even if you do know, ask somebody. Because perspective from others is more valuable than gold. That's not in the Bible. I just sounded scriptural. Okay. So, such as governing authorities, masters, okay? We'll look at Romans 13, 1 through 7, what it says about masters. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 6, 1. We already looked at, we're skipping that one. Okay. Not confuse myself. Instruct every employee to respect and honor their employers. For this attitude presents to them a clear testimony of God's truth and renown. Tell them to never provide them with a reason to discredit God's name because of their actions. Employers, I'm helping you out here. Business owners, any of them in here? There's one here. Where are they at? Oh, there they are, Jerry and Deborah. We got some more business owners. Hey, listen, and if you work for these business owners in here, I'm instructing you. Respect and honor your employer. Now let's look at verse 2. Especially, honor and respect employers who are believers. So who was the first verse talking about? Oh, snap. I got to honor and respect my secular heathen boss? Come on. You betcha. Right. That doesn't mean you're going to violate God's word or any kind of morality, but you're to honor them. Even if, no, we're not going to go there. We're not going to list names there. Okay, so now it's talking about believers, especially honor and respect employers who are believers. All our business owners in here, they're believers. And don't despise them, but serve them all the more, for they are fellow believers. So hold up, does it say if they live up to the standard that I have set? Does it say if they live their lives perfectly in accordance with God's word? Now, listen, they're going to make mistakes. It's tough being a business owner. I know. It's hard. Okay? It's hard to build a business. So, respect them, for they are fellow believers. They should be at peace with them as beloved members of God's family. Be faithful to teach them these things as their sacred obligation. Okay, so such as governing authorities, we talked about masters, now parents. Listen, and if it was me and this was my Bible dictionary, I would have put this one first. Because let me tell you something, it all starts in the home. Because guess what? Long time ago, there was no governing authorities. There was no bosses, right? There was the family, the home, right? Mom, dad, kids. And let me tell you something. Kids have to learn honor at home. Because if they don't, they're not going to honor their leaders. They're not going to honor and respect our government officials. They're not going to honor and respect our police officers, our firefighters, those in local civic authority. They're not. Yeah. So we have to do a great job as parents and grandparents. Some grandparents are raising their kids. As grandparents, as spiritual fathers and mothers. We need spiritual fathers and mothers, because we live in a broken world and we have single mamas in our church, and they need some spiritual fathers to come help with their children. Okay. It's a whole nother message. Okay. So parents, It all starts there. We got to teach our children. That's why we have so many problems with youth in our country, is because they haven't been taught it in the home. And now they're acting like heathens. There's all kinds of shenanigans and goings on. All right. Exodus 20:12. Honor, respect, obey, care for your father and your mother so that your days may be prolonged in the land the Lord your God gives you. We all know this scripture, right? Honor your father and your mother. As a participant in the church, and here's what we're going to focus on for the rest of our time. As a participant in the church, the believer is also called to honor Jesus Christ, the head of the church, fellow believers. That's us. Hey, just a side note. I want you guys, so this may be a reminder for some, but I'm going to keep reminding you. Because the church is not this building. The church is not Victory Life. Okay, the church is you and me. The church is not Pastor Stan and the lead team, Pastor Christian, Pastor Frankie, Pastor AJ, and the staff. The church is us. We are the church. So just let that renew your mind. Renew your mind. So we're going to look at Romans 12:10, talking about fellow believers. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. That's countercultural. The culture says, hey, take care of you. Go after this. Watch more football. Oh, I don't need to go down that path. Okay. I like this also in the ESV version. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Man, we should be competitive. Man, I'm going to outdo them. I'm going to show them more honor than they're showing me. So now let's look at 1 Peter 2:13 through 17, still talking about fellow believers and honoring. Or to governors as sent by him to bring vengeance, punishment, justice to those who do wrong and to encourage those who do good service. Man, that's, you realize that all of these governmental positions are put in place by God. So it doesn't matter if we have a Democrat or a Republican in the White House or in any other form of government. We may not agree with everything. There are, and I'm sure there will be in the future, immoral people in offices and places, right? And we don't agree with that, and we're going to stand up for that in an honorable way. But no matter who, whether it's Democrat or Republican or Unitarian or whatever, that's not one. Give me a break. I'm on stage. Libertarian, whatever all of them are, okay? And if I left you out, I'm sorry. But it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter if it's Barack Obama or Donald Trump or Bush or Clinton or Reagan, whoever it is, we are to show honor. And it's honor when we go in our prayer closet and pray for our president. We don't trash talk him on Facebook. Trash talking Barack Obama or Donald Trump or whoever. It doesn't matter who it is. We cover everybody. What does that accomplish? Honor. We can disagree in honor. Yes. Okay. That's not directed at anybody. I hardly get on Facebook. Okay. For it is God's will and intention that by doing right, your good and honest lives should silence, muzzle, gag the ignorant charges and ill-informed criticisms of foolish persons. Hold up. I got to defend myself. I got to stand up for myself. It says that by doing right, it'll silence and muzzle the ignorant charges of ill-informed criticisms of foolish persons. Now, we don't have time to get into all that and proper responses and different things like, I'm going somewhere, okay? So don't judge me just by that single statement alone, all right? There's a lot that goes into that. Steve knows what I'm talking about. Okay. Live as free people, yet without employing your freedom as a pretext for wickedness. But live at all times as servants of God. Show respect for all snap. All men. So is that like everybody? Oh, that's just men. I don't have to show respect for women, right? That's mankind. Okay? Go back to the Hebrew and Greek. Yeah. You don't want to go to school, I'll just tell you. That's everybody. Okay, show respect for all mankind. Treat them honorably. Love the brotherhood, the Christian fraternity of which Christ is the head. Reverence God. So hold up. You notice how it says first, all men, then it says love the brotherhood. So you can't confuse this, guys. We can't confuse this. He lays it out for us. He's not just talking about the church and us. He's talking about everybody. Show respect for everybody and love the brotherhood, the Christian fraternity for which Christ is the head. Reverence God, honor the emperor. Like another version, it says honor the king. We're going to honor King little K, king of the land, president, honor him. We have to be aggressively the culture that we want in our church. Jacob Sheriff. Listen, this starts with us. It starts with us. If we want to see our city changed, if we want to see our people in our city, their lives changed, we want to see people set free from drugs, people saved, their lives delivered, healed, made whole, families reconnected. It starts with us. It starts with honoring each other. People want to come to a place where we honor. The organizational chart does not inform honor. I honor those around me, especially if I'm the boss. Especially. Leaders, bosses, set the tone. They set the example. Jesus showed us that. Be the servant to all. So it's my job. And so I've already signed this covenant, this leadership covenant that I talked to you about. I've already signed it, but I'm making a verbal commitment to you that I am going to honor. I'm going to do a better job of honoring. I'm going to do a better job of honoring. As the Grow Team coordinator, I'm going to do a better job of honoring our team members, of appreciating them. So let's talk about what that looks like. So what does that look like in this family? Okay, so I'm talking about us, this family. What's it look like? One, honor others around me by verbally showing appreciation. So I just told you, I'm going to do that better. It's in my heart, but there's things that keep me from doing it. And I'm not going to be the Holy Spirit for you. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit convict me. I'm going to share what he convicts me on. Because I'm not going to do the Holy Spirit's job in your life. So I'm not going to say things that maybe you've done that maybe you'll be convicted on. No, you probably just get mad. So I'm going to tell you what I'm convicted on. Let me tell you, there's times I want to go and I want to appreciate people in the nursery, people serving in kids, in our greeters and all these places. I'm going to go and I want to say, man, I thank you so much for serving. I appreciate you being here every week. You're so faithful. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Sometimes something holds me back. And I can tell you sometimes it's pride. What if I go tell that person I appreciate them and yet they're making mistakes over here, 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 and then they just think they're doing awesome all around and then those things never get addressed. I'm just being real. You know what that is? That's pride. Or I think, what do I do after? What do I say after that? Because then it's going to get awkward. Hey, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for serving. Oh, hey, it's my pleasure. I just love serving. Great. I don't know what to say next. It's just awkward. Okay? But regardless of whatever the things that hold me back, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. Honor others by recognizing the Jesus in them. Listen, I know some of y'all are thinking, man, I don't know how much Jesus that person has in them. Some people, you got to work a little harder, but it's your job to work harder. It's our job to work harder, to see the Jesus, because there's Jesus in everybody. Everybody here. We're talking about fellow believers, right? And if we can do it with each other, then we'll do it when we have a guest come in here that's a heathen. Then you'll be able to, you practice on each other at seeing the Jesus in each other, despite failures, despite mistakes, despite they wore something that totally clashed, whatever. So we're going to honor others by recognizing the Jesus. We're going to look for it. We got to walk around looking for the Jesus in other people. I got to walk around looking for the Jesus in Zach. I got to walk around looking for the Jesus in Esme. Man, what can I call out in that person? We focus so much on people's mistakes. Man, that's trash. We need to be calling out the good in people. And they will rise up, and everything else will rise up. Spiritual gifts, character traits. Honor others by going to them when they have irked, frustrated, angered, or wronged me. Listen. Okay, brace yourself. You guys ready? It is dishonorable when you are irked, frustrated, angered, or feel wronged by someone and you don't go to them. You are dishonoring them. Because what you're saying is the relationship isn't important enough to work it out. And I'm preaching to myself, guys. I'm preaching to myself. I've done it. And you know what? We let the enemy lie to us. Because we say, it's not that big a deal. I can get over it. Because I have said out of my mouth, I don't get offended hardly ever, and things don't bother me. And that's true for the most part. But sometimes things do. But guess what? You don't know it until it happens again. And it happens again. And it happens again. And now it's happened so many times, and you didn't take care of it when it was small and when it wasn't a big deal, because we got to take care of things when they're not a big deal. Because then they never become a big deal. But we don't do that. We don't do that. Excuse me. Most of the time, we don't do that. We got to do that in our marriages. We got to do that in our church. We got to do that with each other. Because the church, listen guys, the church is the single sole way that God has chosen to set this earth free. He has chosen no other vessel. The church is how he impacts everyone on this planet. It's a big deal. And that's us. That's us. So we got to honor others by going to them. And I know this is hard. Like, I understand that. I've walked through it. It's hard. It's not easy. Especially when you don't feel like it's a big deal. You're like, oh, it's not that big a deal, but, you know. But the more you practice it, the more it's not that big of a deal to go and have a conversation with someone. And the more times you walk through it, the more it's like, oh man, that feels so good. Yeah. I don't have to walk in and go, oh, is so-and-so here? Man, is that person's car in the parking lot? You know, like, okay, we could do a whole message on that right there, but we won't. Honor your wife, because the way you treat your wife is how you'll treat the church. Boom. Listen, the parallels in the Bible of Jesus and his bride and husband and wife. Jesus, bride, husband, wife. Jesus, bride, husband, wife. You can't deny it. It's right there in the same passage. The way that we reflect God's image is with family. Yeah. Husband, wife, kids. That's why Satan hates family. That's why I have so many people with broken homes. That's why I have so many divorces. That's why I have so many step-parents and all these things. And my heart breaks because that's not God's design. And there's redemption and there's hope. And if that's you and you've walked through those things, listen, you need to keep believing, because there is a husband or there is a wife for you. And you need to keep believing God for it. Because that's his design. And don't give up. Okay. Get in a life group so you can grant respect and authority for others to speak into you. By the way, it's after the fact. But the notes aren't in the Bible app anymore. The notes are in the app that Zach was talking about. So all the notes tonight, so I'm thinking about it because my 4 points at the end aren't up here because they're too big to fit on one screen. So, but if you go to the VL Church app, and the app, those message notes on the front page, and then you can pull up our location notes. So those are in there for you guys. I know some of you like to have those. Okay. So tonight, now I feel like I need some kind of conclusion. So let's pray. God, I thank you, Father, Lord, doing life in relationship in a broken world, Father, is challenging. And we all make mistakes and we all do things we shouldn't do and say things we shouldn't say. And we have these regrets. But God, I pray that we would have the courage. We would make the decision. I am not going to dishonor. I'm going to honor. I'm going to honor by going to people when I'm upset about something. I'm going to honor by granting people access to my life. I'm going to honor by honoring my wife and honoring Jesus's bride, the church. God, we need your help to do that. We humble ourselves and realize pride keeps us from so many things that you have for us. And we humble ourselves and say, we can't do that. We need you. God, help us to walk through that. Help us to walk and cultivate a culture of honor with this family, our church, us together. That's what changes our community, the church. God, help us to do that and walk it out. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to encourage you. You know, it's challenging and hard to walk some of those things out I talked about. And next Wednesday, Pastor Frankie is going to be preaching. And he's going to be talking about how to help you walk that out and how to live that out. And so he's going to preach a two-part the next two Wednesdays. And so I encourage you to come be a part of that. So tonight is the last Wednesday of the month. And so it's our opportunity to come to the table. And so we're going to do that. And so if our teams would come, we have prepared communion for you. If you are here tonight and you're a guest, you are welcome to participate, but there's no obligation. So feel free to participate in communion. It's where we remember Jesus and his body that was broken and his blood that was shed for us. And so what we'll do is you'll stand and each row will come. So this middle section will come out on your right side, come through and go back in your seats on the opposite end. And over here, the same that way and go to the opposite end. And here, come through and go the opposite direction. So you guys can stand and come and start receiving the elements. So I just want to remind you guys how important it is that we rightly discern the body of Christ. Jesus's body, you know, he says, unless you eat my body, eat my flesh, which sounds real weird, but it's not when you understand the kingdom. Jesus is God's word made flesh. God's word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the word of God. And so you have to take the body and you ingest the word and it brings life, not just to you in your spirit, in your soul, but in your physical body. It brings life and health. So we got to understand the body of Christ that was broken, that was torn apart for you and me. And it's so important. I always encounter Jesus at communion because I think and I remember what Jesus did for me, and it never gets old. Remembering what Jesus did for me never gets old, because I know that what he did over 2,000 years ago, that I can live and walk in freedom, in health, in my physical body, in my mind, I can live and walk in that because of Jesus. So I just want to read, as we partake of the bread, which is the body, then he lifted up a loaf, and after praying a prayer of thanksgiving to God, he gave each of his apostles a piece of bread, saying, this loaf is my body, which is now being offered to you. Always eat it and remember me. So let's partake together and remember Jesus and his body that was broken for us. God, we thank you. God, we lift up thanksgiving to you for sending Jesus and for what he endured and sacrificed leading up to the cross. And then we have the juice that represents his blood. And it says, after supper was over, he lifted the cup again and said, this cup is my blood of the new covenant I make with you, and it will be poured out soon for all of you. Jesus poured out his blood for a new covenant so that you wouldn't have to live in sin, so that you could be free from sin, from the power of sin and death. Death has no more power. We don't die as Christians. We leave behind this mortal flesh body and we go where Jesus is. There's no more death. He conquered death for us. So let's partake and thank you, Jesus, for his blood that was shed, that covered our sins and gave us a new covenant. Let's drink together. God, we thank you for your body. We don't ever want it to lose the impact in our hearts and in our minds, Father. We want to always rightly design your body and understand the weight of what you did for us and the power that it created for us to live our lives free from sin and darkness. And now we get to go be the light. And where we are, there is no darkness, because darkness is absence of light. So God, we honor you tonight. We thank you, God, for your word that continues to bring life to our whole being. And I thank you, God, if there's anyone here that is struggling in health in their bodies, I thank you for wholeness in Jesus' name in their body. I thank you for knees in Jesus' name that are being made whole right now. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name for hip flexors being made whole right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for sore throats being healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for blindness happening in eyes, that eyes are being made clear in Jesus' name. God, we just thank you. Thank you, God, for your life, for your wholeness. We rejoice and celebrate it. And we honor and celebrate each other. You in the earth is in each other. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.